Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and Full Year 2023 Conference Call of Food Annals Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Milan Dalal, Managing Director at Food Annals Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. On this second investor call of Food Annals Limited, I welcome my fellow shareholders and analysts and well-wishers. As the Managing Director, I would like to start with the announcement of sharing the joy of presenting an outstanding performance and would like to dedicate the same to my entire team led by Mr. Molloy Saha, our CEO, and Mr. Anand Krishnan, our CFO, and many more in the team at various levels, and very ably guided by our Chairman, Shri Bhupender Dalal. While most of you may be aware of the business of Food Annals, I would quickly like to take you through the verticals. The first vertical being food processing, primarily mangoes. We process multiple varieties, and we cater to juice manufacturers in India and abroad, as also other fruits, namely guava. We have since last year ramped up our production of tomatoes and cater not only to juice manufacturers but multiple FMCGs. We have achieved increased volumes and will continue to do so. Our processing units are located in Valsad area in Gujarat, Nashik in Maharashtra, and Chittoor area in Andhra Pradesh. Our second vertical being spray drying. We have historically been a manufacturer in this segment, doing multiple fruits and vegetable powders, and that just 2 months ago commissioned another plant with 100% capacity increase, and that we are already seeing encouraging results. New products like honey powder have been developed successfully. Our next division being frozen foods division, traditionally manufacturing vegetarian snacks like samosas, naans, and vegetables for export from our Nashik unit. Since last couple of years, we have developed a long range of vegan and exotic value-added products, namely zucchini, spiders, butternut, squash, spiders, corn ribs, etc. And we see great potential in that segment. While it was still recently only export, we have entered into the domestic market under the brand name Greencrop. Frozen foods division has recently expanded its capacity to not only double the current capacities but also get into frozen and chilled foods. This unit has been commissioned in Vankal, Valsad. The next vertical being Kusum Spices. This is a B2C brand that the company acquired in 2019, and that after the initial stabilization issues and change of manufacturing locations, we are all set to see great potential not only in the B2C segment but into large institutional sales. Our new launch of Tetra Recast, which we are initially planning to go to B2C segment, starting with the Amras under our brand name Madhu, followed by the ready-to-eat segment of soups, dals, vegetables, etc., and other specialty products, and also simultaneously looking out for large institutional sales. Last but not the least, we shall witness the commissioning of our pectin project under our associate company Beyond Mangoes, where we have a technology partner. This project is for converting waste into wealth. To start with, pectin will be extracted from the mango skin. Not only will it be an import substitution, it is a natural gelatin substitute. I will now let my team talk a bit before taking the question. Having said that, it would be appropriate on my part to give some clarity as a co-promoter of this company. The company IPO was managed by my father, Bhupender Dalal, in late 70s, and the issue was undersubscribed, and he was stuck with a 10% holding. After a couple of years, a friendly takeover from the management was concluded, and that the then banker gave us an OTS, whereby we repaid the loan and losses were wiped out. One of his friends, colleagues, and a younger brother, Mr. Ustav Dubedia, who was my co-promoter and managing director since 2016, had a premature death, and he deserves full credit to lay a strong foundation to this company since the time he got associated. His son, Mr. Amay Dubedia, CA and British National, worked for the company for 5 years, and that in 2020 he wanted to work out of London, for which the board agreed, and we relocated him to UK for 2 years. His request for further 2 years extension in UK was not considered, and we decided to part ways amicably, and his term ended in April 2023. Since he was in this board, and that while his mother, Mrs. Pallavi Dubedia, continues to be my co-promoter and also a board director, he has decided to pursue their other interests. They have been selling shares in the limited period that the promoter gets and book profits. Finally, I would like to say the sale of shares by my co-promoter will have no impact on the working of the company, and that I will lead the matter to further strengthen on all fronts required for a success of the company. Thank you so much. May I ask my team to take over from here on and then open it up for questions, please.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anand Krishnan, the CFO at Foods and Inc. Limited. Thank you for joining us, and I extend a very warm welcome to all the participants of our Q4 and FY23 Investor Conference call. I am thrilled to have each and every one of you joining us today as we embark on the exciting growth story of this company. I hope all of you had the opportunity to go through our public results and the investor notes shared on the stock exchanges. The past few quarters have been nothing short of extraordinary growth for our organization and the industry. We have achieved milestones, surpassed market expectations, and pushed our boundaries. But let me assure you, we are just getting started. We are extremely thrilled to post strong set of numbers for Q4 and 12 months of FY23. This growth can be attributed to the launch of newer brands, deeper penetration of the branded player distribution network, launch of sub-brands for rural markets, innovative product launches by the brand, and electrification of rural India. This has led to a mismatch in supply demand of mango pulp, which is expected to widen going forward, resulting in tailwinds for the mango pulp processing sector. Tomato pulp is witnessing a substantial increase in demand in India, as there was a crop failure in tomato growing areas in Europe, and a lot of business is shifting away from China. In the spray-dried vertical, we commercially operationalized our second spray-dried unit on the 23rd of March this year, and we are witnessing a lot of demand coming through as a result of energy crisis being faced by manufacturers in Europe due to the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war. In our subsidiary Kusum Spices, we had a muted year because of new rules on pesticide residue introduced in the Middle East, which we have corrected through sourcing from pesticide-compliant certified farmers during the FY24 procurement season. This got down our export volumes in FY23, which we expect to bounce back in FY24. We have also refreshed the Kusum Masala packaging to make it more appealing and have launched it in the retail market. Our Tetra Ricard facility at Wankel has been operationalized at the end of March 2023, and production of our in-house brand Madhu for mango pulp is currently on. Other SKUs in the ready-to-cook segment under our in-house brand Green Top will be launched soon in Tetra Ricard packaging. We are also exploring co-packaging opportunities in the domestic and international markets. We are also very excited to launch our Pectin project joint venture with Beyond Mango by end of June or July 2023. We submitted our first claim under PLI scheme for the financial year FY22, the disbursement of which we are expecting anytime soon. Today, as we stand at the precipice of a transformative era, where our team has been diligently working to navigate the ever-changing landscape of the market, I can confidently say that the fruits of our labor have borne remarkable results. So let us embark on this journey together, a journey of exploration, growth and prosperity. Today, I invite you not only to be investors but also partners in our quest for greatness. Together, we will shape the future and leave a lasting legacy. I come to the end of the opening remarks and would like to ask the moderator to open the forum for any questions or suggestions that all of you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Sudhir Beda from Right Time Consultancy Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations for the stupendous result, Milan Bhai, Anandji, and Bhupen Bhai also, and your entire team. Hearty congratulations, sir. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please carry on.
See, my questions are, I have three questions. First, the tailwind which you have mentioned in your press note and in the opening remarks as well is going to be a very high growth for the 24. So what kind of volume growth do you expect in 24? I think we have done around 103,000 tons in FY23 as a consolidated. So, and on the 91,600 we did on the tonnage side. So what kind of volume growth we expect in current year, sir?
Hi, this is Maulay Shah. We are projecting a growth for FY24 around 25 to 30% on volume growth.
Oh, great. That's a very good news, sir. And the second question, we are getting some news of, you know, untimely rain, unseasonal rain, and the crop failure from the different part of country. So, has the prices have gone up this year compared to last year, prices of the mango particularly?
Yeah.
And will our EBITDA per ton will be maintained or it will be affected because of high price of the mango?
Very good question. On the price of mango, you are correct. It is initially prices has gone up due to weather pattern and which resulted lower crop, especially in the Konkan region for Alfonso crop. But now other part, the Alfonso crop started, like in Balsar region or in Bangalore Karnataka region, prices have started reducing marginally, not in a big way. But overall price will be higher than last year for Alfonso. However, the other varieties like Totapuri, Kesar, these are the varieties we are expecting a good crop and price would be lower than last year. Now, your next question on the EBITDA percentage. We are in a B2B segment and we generally work with most of our customers on cost plus model. Whereas all our cost we are able to pass on and then our margin fixed on part tonnage. So EBITDA, my percentage may not change, may increase, may decrease. It is difficult to say at this stage. As if the raw material price goes up, realization will be much higher than, but then EBITDA percentage will be lower. If raw material price is lower, overall realization will be lower side.
Percentage will go up. So EBITDA per ton will be maintained, right?
Yeah. Per kg will be maintained. That's how it works.
And sir, my last question is, like, we were facing some capital crunch. Because of that, we could not buy the good quantity of mangoes and other fruits at the season time. But now the amount of that warrants have come in, and now we have a good bargain power. So, I believe that our EBITDA pattern should improve in 24. So, is it a case?
It is too early to say anything because season has just started. We won't be able to comment on the EBITDA percentage, how it will move or impact. Let the season get over, probably in our June quarter result, we can able to give you a better visibility during our investor call. At this stage, it is very difficult to comment on that.
Great, sir. Once again, congratulations to entire team and all the best for the coming year. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of A.M. Lodha from Sanmati Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, Mr. Dalal.
Can I audible, sir?
Yes, yeah. Can you? All of us, sir.
Congratulations for the good set of numbers to the entire team of the Food Earnings. And sir, I have got three questions. Number one, relating to expansion, sir. The present expansion plan are nearing completion in June 23, and just we have issued the warrant to the certain shareholders, which are likely to be converted in next 1 year. A company is likely to receive 160 crore in next 1 year for conversion of the warrant, residual warrant. Can you please inform us that how this money management is planning to utilize for expansion for repayment of the loans?
Okay. As we have mentioned just now that we are taking an aggressive target. We are expecting 25 to 30% growth in our volume growth. And this year in the agricultural segment, it's a very working capital intensive segment because it is a seasonal nature of business. So if we have to grow, then we need more working capital. Majority portion of the warrant profits could be used for our working capital requirement. However, some part would like to be used for capacity expansion for few specific lines like tomato or spray rice business. This is our initial plan.
Okay. My second question is relating to seasonality business in our company. Earlier, we were processing the mango pulp. Now, we have started tomato pulp and other fruits pulp and other products we have started producing. So, these fruits are grown in different seasons. January to June, April, then some April to September, some September to December, then from December to March. Can you assume that the seasonality is nature of the business in the sales turnover of company can be mitigated by expanding and diversifying in other foods also, sir?
Absolutely, you are right. The thought process, that is also our thought process. About 4 years ago, we are more dependent on the mango, almost 92% was the mango exposure, 8% we have the guava, papaya, other business. We are happy to say today, we have a tremendous growth in last 2 years. We have almost from 344 to 1000 per year about. Our non-mango business has grown substantially. Today we are 78% mango business and 22% non-mango business. Our whole focus to mitigate risk on mangoes, we would like to diversify in other business as other products, especially like tomato, guava, spray dye, these are the business we can see a huge potential in next 5 years. And objective of that in 3 to 4 years time, our non-mango business should be approximately 40% and mango business should be 60%. And
60-40.
That's our objective and that target we are working on.
Okay, sir. My last question is, sir, related to promoters. The question is directly to Mr. Dalal. Actually, one of our earlier promoter and associate and family friends, Mrs. Dupalia, she is selling the shares in the open market. She was holding 20% shares and last 2 quarter has reduced by 2% and the day before, on Monday, she sold 2% equity in the open market, 10 lakhs something. But sir, according to, she is still director in the board of directors. She is still director?
Yes, currently she is still a director.
So then sir, my question is that when she is selling the shares, even the SEBI guidelines and the SEBI rules, she has to intimate it to the company and company has to intimate it to the stock exchange when the promoter is selling a single share in the open market, then immediately next day this intimation should be given. Sir, she sold the shares on the Monday Today is the first day. Neither stock exchange have been informed, nor company has informed to the stock exchange that they are one of the promoters that sell the shares in the open market. So what steps this company is taking to ensure that your director and promoter is filing the intimation to the stock exchange, that on the next day?
Mr. Lodha, to the best of my knowledge and I am aware, certain changes have been made by SEBI in the last couple of months, and whereby very much the disclosure does happen on the stock exchange, but to send it to the company and the company to report to the stock exchange has been done away with. It is a direct reporting to the stock exchange, and that she, to our knowledge, and we receive it on a daily basis, our intimations are being filed with the stock exchange.
But the stock exchange is not reflecting, normally stock exchange, whenever the promoter is selling the share, stock exchange the next day reflect the in their SSES filing of 2015.
Mr. Lodha, just to clarify, there is a different tab on both the stock exchanges which actually capture those data. After this call, I should have exactly to find the data on the stock exchange, but it's been published daily.
No, no, sir, it is not. In last 4 days, she has not filed any intimation to the stock exchange.
Owners
of the filing should also call about the company also, Mr. Kala.
No. The company is, company responsibility has been done away by the SEBI. And it is very much there as I said, they report to us.
He is a promoter and he is still director in the company.
Correct.
So it is, you cannot escape by saying this that system has changed, so and so changed. You must ensure that the filing to the extra system should be done in timely.
Okay, we will write to her and ask for further clarification, but we will check with our leader, write to her for further advice, it's not being followed, but generally our belief is what we have been informed is that this is the correct way of filing, but nonetheless we need to avoid it being right to her.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. My last question is related to dividend, sir. You earn 12 rupees cash earning and 9 rupees something paisa in net earning, sir. But you have distributed only 50 paisa. This is just 5% of your, not even 5% of your earning. At least company should have a dividend distribution policy in the place and company should give a reasonable and respectable dividend to the shareholder.
I'm a very interested party, so say that I think the company does for better growth and doing needs to conserve. However, the board was magnanimous in having a normal 25% dividend and a special 25% dividend, which we missed out on the 50th year last year, but in this 51st year as a one-time kind of thing. But we would carry this to the board and inform that the shareholders wish to have a better return.
Sir, 5% distribution is a peanut looking to the growth and profits in the company, sir.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much, sir.
Congratulations
to the entire team for the excellent working, the work being done by your entire team. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We move to the next question. Our next question is from the line of Manan Poladia from MKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello sir, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, first of all, congratulations on the brilliant set of numbers that you have posted. Sir, I have two questions. My first question is on the revenue mix. So, this year in the press release, you stated that there has been some sort of tailwind from the tomato market being bad across Europe. So, I wanted to understand what is the breakup of this 300 odd crore revenue that we posted.
So 300 crore revenue that you have actually given is for this particular quarter, but then on a yearly basis is what, we will be able to give you broad numbers on.
That is also doubled in
terms of sales value that you have actually achieved in the tobacco market from around 30 odd crores to 60 odd crores is what we have actually done in this year.
Right. Okay. Also, sir, my second question is on the basis that March 2023 has been tough breakout quarter for your company. Usually, historically speaking, from what I can see, June and September are better quarters with a higher delta. So, is that something that we should expect this year as well, or will that trend be bucked this year?
So, over the last 8 quarters, the breakout has actually happened every quarter, if you actually think. So, we hope to have more breakouts going forward.
Okay, understood, sir. Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ashok from Equity for Life LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah, congratulations for a great set of numbers, and my query has been answered, so thank you so much.
We can't hear you.
Sir, the participant mentioned his query has been answered and has left the queue.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Over to the next.
Our next question is from the line of Avinash Nahata from Parami Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Okay. So my question is pertaining to the tonnage and price. So what you guys have given out us is 29,600 ton as far as quarter four tonnage is considered, 328 crores what it represents in terms of value. So which gives us the realization of almost 111 rupees a kg, which is 8,10,000 per ton. And when I compare the same number, last year is 73,000 odd. So 110 as against 73,000 is a 50% rise in realization. Now, we do not know what is the mango tonnage, we do not know what is guava, what is tomato, and all we know is there is 29,000. So why I'm asking this question is, so since it's a cost plus model, and you said that I mean, because the realization of a tomato and guava would be much lower than, obviously, if you are doing 20-25,000 conversion on a mango per ton, obviously, that's not possible to do it in a lower value item like a tomato or something. So, how to come to a number in terms of conversion per ton or EBITDA per ton, because the mix is also changing. Right now, it's 80-20, 80 mango and 20 non-mango. So, we do not know. Tell us something about this EBITDA per ton changing or the gross margin per ton changing in terms of your present and future mix.
Hi Avinash. So basically, I mean, you being an investor, I'm sure you would be on our side of the game, wherein a lot of the information with respect to the realization of the sales, selling prices is something that we don't want to give to the competition as such. So that should actually answer your question as to why we are not giving the breakup of each and every product, whether it is mango. Inside mango itself, there will be different variants, whether it is Alfonso, whether it is Tutapuri, whether it is Neelam, there are different variants of mango, right? So we don't give that breakup just to not share good information with the competition and with the buyers.
No, that's perfectly all right. I do not want a breakup also. So what I'm asking is, your conversion per ton, EBITDA per ton, that's not going to remain when it was a 90-95% mango versus a 75% mango. So, I mean, it would change, right? So, as an analyst, people tracking companies, how should we look at EBITDA per ton? Or because we can't look at percentage. Percentage is a misguided number. So, in terms of absolute EBITDA per ton or a conversion per ton, how do we look at it? I mean, if you can...
So what our team here does is basically on each and every product, whether it is Alfonso or Tutapuri, we actually say as to what was our EBITDA per kg last year, what was our gross margin per kg last year, and we try to improve on that year on year basis. That's how we actually track it. But there is no way for an analyst to go ahead and track that as such.
Okay. Okay, my second question is on the price. So you are saying that this data is published for financial year 22.
Sorry, which data are you talking about?
You just spoke about something, right? The EBITDA per ton individually crop-wise.
That's an internal document that we have. Our marketing team has a data for each and every product saying that this is what the gross margin per kg would be in a particular year. And then in the coming year, we would actually say as to what needs to be improved on that for the gross margin per kg to improve. So that's an internal thing. We don't share that out with the analysts or with the marketing general.
Okay, fair enough. My second question is regarding price. So we have seen, so this is just the starting of the season, but it shows 110 against 73, so almost 50% rise in prices. So the question is, do we have a fair idea of what's this price going to be like for the rest of the season or for the entire year? Can we say confidently from as of now what is going to be the price, because that will be the guiding factor behind whether our on an average working capital would be 600 crores or 700 crores?
Being an agricultural commodity, it is not easy, or it will not be a wise call to tell you that this will be likely to the average price. It's very difficult, but we know we are in this business since 50 years, so we have a fair idea how the price moves and how to mitigate any price increase or what type of working capital requirement. We are confident any abnormal price upward, downward, we can able to handle in the right manner.
And Avinash, just to add to that, our price negotiation for a particular table actually happens at the end of August or September as such with most of our clients, basically because by then we will know the average cost of raw materials that we have procured.
Okay. So this, if you are saying 25% rise in tonnage, so from 103 to almost 130,000 tonnes, on an average, so even if you assume 90-100 rupees, so is my analysis correct that on an average we'll involve, if we involve 6 months working capital, that's going to be around 600 crores plus for this year?
So yes, the working capital numbers are broadly right, but then the point is we are trying to get advances in the market. Whether it comes through or not, we will get to know only as the season progresses.
Okay. Achha, ye jo, there was a mention of 22% non-mango and 78% mango. So when we are saying this, we are talking about the tonnage public or we are talking about the company as a whole?
No. So this was FY22 numbers from the annual report that you are referring to, if I am not wrong. So 78% was the mango revenue contribution to the total number of the company as such.
Overall company's revenue, 78% was mango pulp processing.
Yeah, this is FY22 numbers that you are referring to from the annual report.
Okay. And what is the claim we have submitted, PLI claim?
So first claim was for around 10 crore or rupees as such. We are expecting that anytime soon.
Yeah, thanks team, thanks Manoj, thanks Anand. That's all from my side.
Thank you so much, thank you. Over to the
next. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nikhil Sandak from JM Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My question was for Mr. Dalal. You know, Mr. Dalal, you see, you know, you explained about the shareholding sale which is happening from the promoters, and that was very useful. You know, my question was, if we take into account the shareholding by, you know, Mrs. Pallavi and look at the dilution which will happen on account of the warrants, you know, the rough calculation shows that the Dalal family post the warrants would be left with a shareholding of roughly 16-17%. You know, and obviously that is a fairly small number, you know, from an overall perspective. So what is your thoughts on, you know, increasing this shareholding, because the dilution will take it to a very low number, you know, sub 20% actually.
So you know, there are a lot of regulatory concerns in doing this, but in one statement, our endeavor would be to ensure that we are above 25% at all times, and such plans are being formulated and planned. When you say about post-dilution, the event is about 13 to 14 months away from now. So I appreciate your concern, and we are equally, you know, we are aware of it and would be taking care of it.
Understood. Perfect. Because, you know, one of the entities which had, you know, participated in the warrants, I saw the BSE release, they've already converted their, you know, warrant, exercised the full warrant. So I'm presuming while it might be 13 months, if the company needs for example, more money from a working capital perspective, maybe the funds come in earlier and the warrant conversion actually takes place earlier, and which is where this, frankly, this question really came.
Yeah, that was one of the investors partly did it, converted 6 lakh shares. Most welcome as well. When we should see some more of those coming in the near future and then subsequently, so that events are well understood and doing it. And
so your comfort shareholding would be somewhere in the range of 25%, as you think, for the Dalal family.
That's right. That's the minimum threshold that which we would be, generally as a philosophy of that of my father Bhupen Dalal, wherever he held companies, that nothing less than, it was then 26, now little over 25 is an acceptable level.
Perfect. Understood. My other question was, on the two smaller business segments right now, which is spices and ready to eat food, thoughts you can share on what numbers we can see over the next, say, 2-3 years, because the scale of opportunity in those two segments is obviously large. But I think the company's bigger focus is obviously on the mango processing and in the tomato part, as you explained. But, what actions can we see on these other two smaller segments?
So in our internal doing it, we somehow want the other businesses to overtake our mango business, but mango being mango, the king of fruit, is just not allowing the others to race ahead. So that's growing at a faster pace, but nonetheless, every effort is being made to ensure that we ramp up the operations on those segments.
But are we like investing more, capital behind these two segments at this point of time, or we are letting it, continue the scale of growth as it is right now?
We are definitely not deploying more capital into these businesses as such, but we are seeing a few opportunities here and there which we want to capture and grow ahead is what the whole thought is.
Understood. Fine. And my last question was, increasingly there's been obviously a lot of noise about competition in the, in the drinks market. Now, I know it's more colas right now and not on the fruit drinks part, but, eventually how does this, increased competition either help you or not help you? As in, is there a scope of more supplies, or is there a challenge in terms of pricing, what you can get from your end customer, because if they have to reduce their end prices eventually, and I'm not saying it's happened now, but if it happens, how do you think the industry scenario helps or does not help food generally?
I'm Mala here. Industry scenario in beverage industry, especially in India, is very, very lucrative. All the big brands in juice brands, they have invested already sizable amount on capital and capacity expansion. They are also investing next 2 to 3 years sizable amount. I mean, one of the brands have declared they are investing $300 million on their capacity expansion for next 2 years. We see opportunity in beverage industry to have a 2x in next 3 to 4 years. If that is so, then the existing processor could not meet all the supply requirements. You need much more capacity expansion from the processor like us. As far as the competition is concerned, I think any competition we should consider as a healthy competition. And there is a huge opportunity. Cake size is quite big. I believe that everybody can have one pie of the cake. That's much I can ensure.
Nikhil, just to add to that, that even though there is competition, there is still shortage of pulp in the market as such. So that is actually creating a lot of opportunities for people like us to actually, take the benefit of that situation. And I hope that the price increases should come through and should be ultimately passed on to the consumers as such.
Perfect. I'm just thinking a scenario where, for example, some of your competitors, if they revive and come back in the market, whether it's Capricorn in any fashion or Jain Group in any fashion, then how does that change the scenario for you guys?
Yeah,
the bulk shortage still remains. As of now, especially in Tuticorin, there is a lot of shortage in demand as such. So we don't want to quantify any numbers to you or give you an estimate of that, but that's a fact in the market.
And this is in spite of some of their capacities coming back on.
Correct. That's right.
Perfect. Perfect. Great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Over to the next, please.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Preet Malde from Centra Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. We have a rough number around 78% of our revenue coming from mango. I want to understand what portion of the revenue is coming from the pulping business and the non-pulping business.
Sorry, can you please repeat your question?
What portion of our revenue is coming from pulping business and the other businesses, if you can give me a breakup?
Pulping business will be something around 85 to 87% is the pulping of all varieties.
Okay, that's helpful. And if I understand correctly, I think I had sent you some of my queries on email and you replied. You said that some of our manufacturing takes place in a job work model where we outsource some of our manufacturing to other players and that's how we do it. So I want to understand how much of the demand can our in-house captive capacity suffice and how much do we have to outsource?
It depends on, it can be a sacrosanct or fixed formula. It depends on the number of days, the raw material availability, how is the market demand, and based on that, time to time, we look for options where we entered a contract with some contract manufacturer and try to grab some opportunity of the low price. Sometimes in a particular period, raw material price due to the more supply, price may decrease, and that time we try to take the advantage and enter some contract. So I can't able to comment on that particularly, but it depends on the season, it depends on raw material availability, it depends on how the market dynamics move.
Okay, so isn't it beneficial for us to have enough captive capacity so that we have enough quality control and everything? So, how does it benefit us? How does outsourcing and an asset-light model benefit us?
Asset-light model, when you speak, we have the full control on the infrastructure. Infrastructure must be owned by somebody, but the operation controlled by us, our employees, on the quality, on the production, on the process, on the storing, everything is in our control. So basically, entire operation is controlled by Foodzenin, from sourcing of material to the production, for storing, for hygiene, food safety, only infrastructure we use somebody else. So that's the way asset-light model works. But it's very important that we should have enough captive consumption, because that gives us, as you rightly said, that gives us a better control on our product quality.
Exactly. That was helpful. And I also want to understand that if we plan to bring up more captive capacity, how much CapEx would we require? If I want to talk about the future, how much CapEx per unit or per ton would we require?
As of today, it is on the working stage. We are working on, exploring multiple options based on the market scenario. We are looking some capacity expansion in our pulp business, more capacity expansion, especially in the tomato processing business, some in our spreading process. So, we are working on it. At the appropriate time, we'll let you know. I think there is an opportunity and we would like to grab the opportunity.
Okay, if I can rephrase the question, what is our asset turnover number when it comes to purely pulping business? How much of our captive capacity can, how much of revenue can our captive capacity generate?
I would like to say, we would like to take any project in the pulping business, our CX would be revenue or the capex. For any new capacity expansion, that's the model we follow.
Thank you. Mr. Preet Malde, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions as there are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Our next question is from the line of Neeraj Shah from Exemplar Investment. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the entire management team for delivering an exceptional performance yet again for second year in a row. Now, my first query was regarding our domestic volume growth, wherein we have posted 44% year-on-year growth this year. This is over 107% growth that we achieved last year. So what has been the broad reasons for this to happen and how sustainable you believe this is going ahead?
I think in the last question and answer session, I have already communicated that we see a good growth potential in Indian beverage industry. It's growing at 27% year-to-date level growth, and big brands have already announced that they are investing sizable amount, around $300 million, to expand their capacity. When the big brands are expanding their capacity, I am sure all of us know that there is a huge opportunity in Indian market, especially with this summer time, the temperature in India, the way it's moving, I mean, there is a huge opportunity as well as the shortage in the pulp content. So, it is a sustainable growth. I can see some various discussions with our big customers as well as some of the forums, that we are seeing in the next 5 years very good sustainable growth in this industry.
That's great. And regarding realization front, I believe export segment has achieved almost 50% jump in realization this year. So is it sustainable or we will see moderation in the realization rate?
Realization is totally depends on the raw material price, as we mentioned in our earlier question and answer session, that we work on the cost plus model with a per metric ton fixed realization. That's the model we are working on. So, I mean, the good part is that any risk in the raw material we can able to pass to our customers. So that is the most sustainable model we believe, and we are able to succeed in this model. So, realization may go down, may go up. As of to the scenario based on the raw material side prices, we don't see any huge drop in the realization. There may be a marginal correction in some of the categories, but Alfonso category, one of the major products which we are selling, we don't see any major realization jump. Second important point is that the realization has gone up last year due to the product mix. In our last year, overall sales, we are able to sell more Alfonso in export market than Totapuli. Alfonso is a high reliable product, Totapuli is a low reliable product, and that helps us for a better realization. Apple to apple, if you compare, then you have to go deep down on how much Alfonso we sell, what was the realization, how much Totapuli we sell, and other products.
Thank you. Mr. Neeraj Shah, may we request you to turn to the question queue for follow-up questions. Participants are requested to limit your questions to one or two per participant. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rao Thakur from NVS Brokerage. Please go ahead.
Congratulations for the good set of numbers. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so congratulations on good set of numbers. So
thank
I have two questions. One is on the debt side, so what would be our finance cost for the next full year? And if you can please throw some light on exports as well.
So the finance cost is always linked to the repo rate as well. So if you can actually give us a guidance from the RBI governor as to what the repo rate would be, we might be able to give you a tentative cost. That's number one. But having said that, we are always working on strategies to reduce our cost of debt. That's the ongoing strategy that we always have. What is your second question, please, on exports, right? Hello?
So the
Hello?
The line for the participant has dropped. May we move to the next question?
Sure. Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Deepak Chokhani from Rate Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Milan and Anand. Congrats to the entire team. Excellent numbers. I just have one question on Pectin. How big can it be and what kind of EBITDA margins do you foresee for this business, please? Thank you.
Hi, Deepak. So with respect to Pectin, it's a 150 metric ton plant that we have conceptualized at the first stage. So on a single run basis, the import parity prices are at around 1200 rupees per metric ton for Pectin. So on a single run basis, I think the 15 crore revenue can be actually expected in the joint venture business. But having said that, that's going to be our first plant in case that takes off, the sky is the limit to actually multiply the numbers there. And it has a high EBITDA number basically because most of the raw materials are waste which we actually generate in-house in the form of mango. We are also contemplating to use other waste in the form of banana skin to also convert into mango at the second stage as such. So the gross margins are high and the EBITDA margins are also expected to be high.
Lovely. That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deepak.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nalin Shah from NVS Brokerage Private Limited. Please go ahead.
At the outset, let me congratulate the entire team of Foods and Inns led by Sri Bhupen Dalal and Mr. Milan Dalal for excellent performance and I think stupendous performance, I would call it. So please accept our heartiest congratulations on that. I would like to know that out of your top line of about 1000 crores, what is the kind of a top line contribution from the pulp business, which is our main business, and what is the other than the pulp business? That is my first question. Secondly, I wanted to know that from what you mentioned that next five years you are seeing stupendous opportunity in the this agricultural sector, and even after that also you will continue to see, but based on you have developed so many different products like dried powders, then the frozen foods and so many other businesses which are everything seems to be that very, very high value added business. So can you give us some idea of two things? One is that going forward, what kind of improvement you see in terms of margin, that is EBITDA margin, PBT margin and PAT margin as a percentage to the top line? And secondly, what do you see in terms of that each year to take a view that from 1000 crores, where do you see the company at the end of say 3 years and 5 years?
Okay, thank you so much for your question. With respect to the pulp business, it contributes around approximately 90% of our total revenue as of today, all pulp put together. Second, with respect to your question on margin percentage, we have actually tried to explain this time and again that we work on the basis of gross margin per kg, and our endeavor every year is to improve the gross margin per kg on a product basis, on a year-on-year basis as such. So we wouldn't be able to commit or comment on the margin percentage to the top line. That's okay. With respect to the second question of yours. First question is with respect to 1000 crores of top line translating into what? Obviously, we are not allowed to give projections as such as a company, but with respect to comments, our CEO has already commented that we are trying to target around 25-30% tonnage growth this particular year.
Right. So, my question is, more on a broader, I would say, outlook, not on a like year-to-year kind of a thing. Now, since, there is so many the different product lines which you have taken up in terms of, as I mentioned, frozen foods, and you also mentioned that the pulp business, mango, you want to be, around 60 and 40 to be other businesses. So once you do that, where do you see the company in terms of, say, very broad outline as an internal target that we want to be as a 5,000 crore company in next 5 years or 3,000 crore company in next 3 years or 5 years, whatever it is. Just to understand the kind of a growth opportunity which is there in the segment, and you have also got PLI, I think, advantage because participation, which you are sure that you are going to far outbid the PLR requirements which are there. So from broad perspective, we wanted to just understand.
Sure. As we have actually commented in our opening remarks, the growth that we have seen is just the beginning, is what we genuinely believe. And honestly, we can't comment on the growth numbers going forward, but broadly, the first target is a double from the numbers that we have actually spoken about.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much, thank you very much. And my last suggestion would be, as some other people have also asked, that if you can fix up some kind of, you know, I do know that, you know, it's a very highly working capital intensive industry, and that's why you would like to conserve the resources, but still, to be fair to the shareholders, if you can say something, you know, in future, that okay, 15% of the profit will distribute, or 10% or 20% of the profit, that would, I mean, give us some idea about, you know, what kind of a reward shareholders can expect, at least from dividend, and other capital appreciation is different.
Sure, Mr. Shah, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much once again. Excellent performance and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shanid VH, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. I am Shanid. See, sir, regarding this Pallavi Vibhalya selling, why we cannot facilitate an institutional buying for her stake? Because selling in open market is not advisable, given the it will also affect the share price movement also, and it will give a very negative picture for the among the investor community. So why cannot we go for an institutional buying for that stake?
We will definitely give them a suggestion that a call is their own call. It, we have no control over their action. Logically, I'm sure they would have considered, but it all bases on how they would have wanted to do, and unfortunately, this is where we stand, but we appreciate your suggestion.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir, one more thing, see, regarding this packing segment, so from next year onwards, we will start this manufacturing of this packing, no? As per last conference call, we will be starting this on June. It is on timeline? It's
yes, there are two processes for testing. One is that the waste material to be dried, so that drying process likely to start by this month end.
Okay.
And once the dried process is over, then subsequent process, the next step is the to convert into testing.
Okay.
That likely to start in August. But as of today, we are on time on the project.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mary from TSG Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a wonderful set of numbers to the entire management team. I just had a couple of questions, but before that, I would just like to point something out. So, the previous participants, with all due respect, they've been mentioning the dividend payout should be increased or there should be a fixed percentage of payout. I think a majority of the shareholders would agree with me when I say that I really believe that you should retain your earnings and, you know, use it to fuel the growth of the company. We are more than happy with the capital appreciation rather than the dividend payout. Thank you. My first question was, if you can give me a breakup of how much revenue our top five clients contribute, and whether you mentioned that Coca-Cola is planning to take Maaza global, right? So what sort of revenue contribution we have from Coca-Cola and PepsiCo and those sort of clients?
Sorry, your voice broke in between. Can you just repeat the second question? We noted your first point on the dividend. We are giving both the viewpoints of consideration, and hopefully we'll come up with a better solution next time around. The second question, whatever you asked, was not clear. Can you just repeat that, please?
Yeah, sure. You mentioned that Coca-Cola is planning to take Maaza global, right? And we are suppliers to Coca-Cola. So if you can just give me a sort of broad breakdown of how much percentage of revenues come from the top five clients or top three clients, and, you know, what sort of business are they expecting to give us in the future, if any orders?
From our worldwide, top 15 customers gives us 65% of the revenue. And all top 15 customers are from the Fortune 500 companies.
Okay. And what kind of outlook have they, you know, given us in terms of like, you know, any outstanding orders or any promises or any sort of thing?
Yeah, as I told you, brands, big brands in India, they are showing very ambitious position, and 3 years time they would like to make 2x in a particular category where they are supplying our pulp. And globally, few brands, they are going around 15% to 20% CAGR. So I think overall, food-based juice drinks are really doing well and likely to continue for next 3 years. That's our assumption on various discussion as well as the report what we are reading.
Right. And just my second question was on the lines of the tomato business. So what sort of end user categories are we catering with the tomato paste or tomato pulp? Is it like a majority driven by sauces, or is it more towards a, you know, wider range of products?
No, we supply, being a B2B segment, we supply to big brands who are manufacturing the ketchup. Or in India, I'd like to say that in-house consumption in India itself is around 50 to 60,000 metric tons of tomato paste, which is used for ketchup and very other tomato paste products. And there are also a huge opportunity in unorganized sector in the QSR market, because quick service restaurant or cloud kitchen, they are consumption in tomato puree quite a big loss. Another lucrative business in the pizza market. So these are the markets that will contribute in India is becoming a quite a big lot. But good part is that from this year onward, we have started supplying tomato paste in export market in Gulf as well as in Europe. So far, China was the leader in tomato paste due to some geopolitical issue as well as since COVID. I think there is a decline in China tomato paste consumption worldwide. And last year, Europe affected from the drought, and especially in the tomato growing region. So there is a huge shortfall as of now. And we expect that the demand continues for next few years.
Perfect. Thank you so much for answering all my questions. Congratulations and good evening to all the management.
Thank you. Good evening to you.
Thank you. Going forward, we would only be taking one question per participant due to the time constraint. Our next question is from the line of Sushil Salarka from Pioneer Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, congratulations for the great numbers.
Thank you.
My question is that at what GP per kg, you know, is sustainable for us? What GP per kg are we looking and the number can be sustainable?
So as we said, we won't be disclosing this number because this is price sensitive and customer sensitive data, so we won't be able to comment on this.
Okay, no problem sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, I was just trying to, you know, look at the numbers in detail, and what I understand from the tonnage figures are gross profit and EBITDA operating profit, that in last 2-3 years, our gross margins have remained almost similar in terms of per tonnage basis. I understand I'm not looking at percentage basis, but what I'm trying to do is divide the amount by the tonnage quantity. So what I get is, for last 3-4 years, the gross profit per ton has practically remained the same or has just gone up by 2-5%. But our EBITDA profit per ton has gone up by almost 35-40%. So I think that is to do with the operating leverage existing in the system and the absorption of fixed overhead. Is that a fair understanding?
No, that's actually not a fair understanding, basically because the mix of the products would have actually changed. So that would actually contribute to a different number. So what you are seeing is the tonnage which is being published is the consolidated tonnage. So that will not give you the right picture.
Okay, but the gross profit per tonnage on a blended basis remains the same.
Per kg, it depends upon each and every product. So it depends upon how much that product is contributing to the total tonnage, right?
my question is basically, do we have further drivers for operating leverage? Do they exist in the system? Because the current inflation still not will be, considering we are doing 78% mango, our overall capacity utilization for the full year may not be optimal. So is there an operating leverage which exists in the system which can drive the EBITDA per profit higher from what it was for March 23?
Yes, there is operating leverage possibility for sure.
Thank you. We move to the next question. Our next question is from the line of Akshata Telisara from Aeonis Alpha Investment Management. Please go ahead.
It's been answered. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rohit Ori from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, one question, two or three parts to that. With this pesticide compliance certificate for export to probably Middle East, what sort of turnover was lost? Is it possible to share with us?
It is not. I mean, for spice business, I think we lost around four crores business. We lost in the spice. Overall, in consolidated, it may not be a big revenue, but yes, on the spice category, we lost some opportunity.
And do you see any capacity constraint in this high margin, lucrative, and a business with very immense opportunity?
Capacity constraint for us is continuing, etc., because we are growing and opportunities are huge. So, as of when there's a requirement, we use a contract manufacturing process, some of our volume, covered it. And for the high-value business, means I didn't understand what is exactly the question. On the high-value business, means what you are trying to say?
For the spices business.
For spices, we have recently built up a new capacity, and that capacity is enough to have the double revenue. Yes, if we are thinking to have a 3X or 4X revenue, we may have to look for additional capacity.
Thank you. We move to the next question. Our next question is from the line of Preet Malde from Centra Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the question again. From what I understand, the pectin capacity is coming under our associate, which is Beyond Mangoes. So the revenue from pectin won't be consolidated in our books, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
It's not consolidated. It's at 50%, right? So it's a joint venture reporting that actually happens.
Okay. And the Tetra Recart that we put up, how much capex have we incurred for that?
Total revenue will be around total capex will be around 25 to 26 crores approximately. Yeah.
Thank you. We move to the next question. Our next question is from the line of Deepak Podar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, I just wanted to understand in terms of EBITDA per ton. I mean, if you see for the last entire years, our EBITDA per ton was close to about 9,200, and maybe for the fourth quarter, it was about close to 10,000 plus. Now, with kind of contract that we have in terms of fixed margin rate on per ton or per kg basis with the client and due to operating leverage, will that be fair to have this understanding that this 10,000 rupees that we get in fourth quarter would have an upward bias because of the leverage and that is a kind of a sustainable thing going forward?
No, it depends upon the product mix, number one, and it also depends upon the inventory season which actually goes that sale in that particular quarter. So it would be a blend of that.
Largely sustainable? I mean, this number plus minus somewhere.
So on a gross margin per kg, we are trying to make it better even every year on your basis as such.
Okay. And this non-mango margins are higher than mango margins?
No.
Mango margins are higher than...
Yeah, with respect to pulping, the other products are not having higher margin than mango. But then it's broadly similar.
Okay, that's it from my side.
Yeah.
all the very best.
Thank you. That was the last question for our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anand Krishnan for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, Vikram. I want to take a moment to express my heartfelt gratitude to all the investors for their unwavering support and trust in our organization. It is your faith that fuels our drive for excellence and propels us forward. I hope we have been able to answer most of your questions satisfactorily. Should you need any further clarifications or would you like to know more about the company, please feel free to write to us. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Food and Inns, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.